Over the past few weeks, we've been moving along on our Lenten journey, using this time as a time of preparation for us, leading us towards the climax of the Jesus story, the story of Holy Week. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been taking some small steps on the journey. Two Sundays ago, Rob invited us to reflect with him on what happened immediately after Jesus' baptism, when the Holy Spirit, as it was, hurled Jesus into the wilderness for a time of testing. Last week we heard a story that centered around Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus spoke to his disciples for the very first time about what he was going to be facing in the days ahead. He was going to be facing rejection, suffering, death, and resurrection. And we heard last week how Peter took exception to Jesus' words. How Peter was looking for, how he was expecting an earthly kingdom where Jesus would be king. And remember how Jesus responded to Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, today our Lenten journey is taking another step. And today we hear of a time when Jesus enters the temple of Jerusalem. And I'd like us to spend some time with the reading as we continue on this Lenten journey, and as we prepare for our annual meeting of parishioners today. And I want to title the sermon today, "Cleaning Out the Temple." Now, I don't know whether it crossed your mind or not, but in some sense, it seems a bit strange where today's story appears in the context of John's Jesus story. Over the last few weeks, we've had the impression of kind of moving in a forward direction, and Jesus moving closer towards the end of his earthly ministry. But the passage today seemingly takes us to the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. In the other three Jesus stories, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this incident with Jesus in the temple, it actually occurs just before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. But today, we're only in chapter 2 of John's Jesus story, just after the story when Jesus changes water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. Now, something we need to be clear of is that when John penned his Jesus story, he wasn't trying to write a sequential series of events. To John, it really didn't matter when the different events occurred in the life of Jesus. He arranged his story according to what he was trying to say to those who would be reading it later. And I think it might actually make sense why John placed this story at the beginning of his gospel. Because by the time John's gospel was written, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. And John wanted his readers throughout his gospel to be thinking of the temple differently. He was trying to reassure them that the temple was in fact still with them. And so near the start of his story, John tells of a time when Jesus entered the temple of Jerusalem. He saw things going on there that he took issue with. And he then proceeded to overturn tables because of anger that had come over him. Let's just listen to how John described it from our passage today, starting at verse 13. "When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, 'Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market.'" Now, I think people sometimes jump to the conclusion that Jesus' prime concern here was about the buying and selling going on in church or in the temple. But I don't think that's what this was really all about. I believe Jesus' concern was about something far more significant. And I want us to explore that in a bit. But first, I think it's important for us to kind of fill in some blanks here to help us understand the story a bit more. I think it's important for us to know something about the temple. Now, the temple that was being talked about here was, in fact, the second temple of the Hebrew people. The first temple was built nearly 1,000 years before the time of Jesus, way back to the time of King Solomon. Now, I won't go into detail about that temple, but let me just say that that temple, when it was finished, it was incredible. Now, one of the reasons why the temple was built in the first place was so that God would have a place on earth to reside. Solomon's father, David, King David, after he'd finished building his house, he looked out at it and he thought, I've got a place and God doesn't have one. At that point, the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the stone tablets of the commandments that we heard about in our first reading this morning, the Ark of the Covenant was just in a tent, and so David wanted to have a house built for God, and it was his son Solomon that got that temple built. And so in that temple, the Ark of the Covenant was placed. So that was the first temple, but that temple was destroyed when the Babylonians came and defeated the children of Israel in 587 BCE. And with the destruction of Jerusalem came the destruction of the temple, came the destruction of the hopes in the people that God was right there with them. And the people were taken off into exile, and they were in exile for 70 years. When the exile was over and people were allowed to return back to Jerusalem, part of their main task then was to rebuild Jerusalem and, more significantly, to rebuild the temple. But this time, the temple was far more modest than the temple that Solomon had built. However, some 500 years after that second temple was built, Herod the Great decided that the temple needed an overhaul. It needed to be restored to fit more with its former glory. And so construction started once again on the temple of Jerusalem. And it was this temple that Jesus and his disciples went to when they arrived in Jerusalem. The construction had taken 46 years up to that point, and even then the temple wasn't totally finished. All through the years, the presence of the temple spoke to the people of the presence of God. People seeking out God would make their way to the temple. And that really was the expectation on them. Regardless of how far people lived from Jerusalem, faithful Jews were expected to make their way to Jerusalem and specifically to the temple for all the major religious festivals of the Hebrew people. And when they made their journeys to Jerusalem and to the temple, they were to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. The Passover was one of those festivals. As we see in our passage today, Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem at this time because it was the time of the Passover. Now, we need just to go a little bit further with some of the background to help us fill in and to gain a full understanding. I want to talk briefly about the practice of sacrifice at the temple. When making a sacrifice, people would offer an animal that belonged to them to the Lord, and they would sacrifice that animal as an offering to God. But for those who traveled any distance to Jerusalem, there was a concern about what if something happened to their animal that they were going to be sacrificing? What if something happened to their animal on the way? What if it died? And then they would have no offering to give. So what people would do is they would have their animal that's without blemish, the one that was supposed to be offered, and back home they would sell that animal. They would bring the money with them, take it with them to Jerusalem, and then in Jerusalem they would buy another animal without blemish so they could offer that to the Lord. And another thing they had to do when they came to the temple is they would have to pay a temple tax. Everybody who went into the temple precincts, they would have to offer a temple tax. Now, people who were traveling from other places, and remember, this is a land that is ruled by Rome, and so the currency of the day was Roman currency. Well, that currency couldn't be used in the temple. So people had to exchange money, their money, to the money that was acceptable in the temple so they could pay the temple tax. So I think all that kind of helps us understand the presence of animal sellers and money changers in and around Jerusalem. The animal sellers and the money changers, they were needed by the people who came to make their offerings. They fulfilled a very important function. They made it possible for the faithful Jew to do what they were meant to do when they arrived at the temple. So why was Jesus so angry when he came into the temple precincts? Why did he make a whip out of cords? And then why did he then overturn the tables? Well, what had been originally been established as a service to those who traveled to Jerusalem so they might fulfill their religious obligations and responsibilities, it had devolved into something far different. Now, back in the temple, one of the things we got to recognize, when I was talking about the Ark of the Covenant was in the temple, that area was known as the Holy of Holies. It was considered the most holy place of the temple. And only one person could go into the Holy of Holies. Now it was the chief priest, and that was only once a year. But there were other areas of the temple, kind of as you step back from the Holy of Holies, the next area was the temple sanctuary. Back from that was the temple porch. Then back from that was the place where burnt offerings were made. Then came the court of the priests. Then came the court of the Israelites. And just to be clear here, this was the court of Israelite men. And these men, they had to be ceremonially pure at the time of going into that court. So that was the court of the Israelites. Back from that was the court of women. And then finally was the court of the Gentiles. And those of you who are perhaps new to church, just to be clear, Gentiles was the word that was used for people who were not Jews. So we have all these different courts kind of radiating back from the Holy of Holies all the way back to the court of the Gentiles. If Gentiles wanted to worship, it was fine for them to do so, but they could go no further than the outer courts of the temple. And the whole issue with Jesus was that in those outer courts, that the money changers and the animal sellers had taken over, that was the area where the Gentiles were supposed to be worshiping. What Jesus was so angry about was how the Hebrew people were treating outsiders. By their actions, they were saying, they're not important. It doesn't matter if we fill their place with money changers and animals and animal dung. This wasn't merely about whether or not things were for sale inside the church. This was about things getting in the way of people worshiping. This was about there being barriers to people encountering Yahweh. And when people were oblivious to those barriers, or worse yet, when they just didn't care, Jesus got angry. But notice, his anger wasn't impulsive or explosive anger. In a sense, it was measured and deliberate. In verse 15, it says that he made a whip out of cords. Now, that would have taken a bit of time to do that. So Jesus was taking his time getting this whip ready. But once he was ready, he took action. Verse 15 and 16. So he made a whip out of cords, and he then drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here." You know, earlier on this week when I was thinking about this story, I found it interesting reflecting on those two verses. Because notice what was and what wasn't driven out of the temple area. Let's have a look at the verse once again. It said, "So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. And then those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here." Jesus didn't cast out any of the people, but only the animals were the ones that were cast out. Even though it was people who were responsible for the courtyard being full of all sorts of barriers to others, Jesus didn't cast out the people who were causing it. Instead, he cast out the things that were getting in the way. As I think about that, I think that it speaks to us of the grace of Jesus, that he didn't come down on the people. He didn't say, "You no longer can have access here," but he cast out the things that were getting in the way. I think this leads to an important question that each of us needs to be asking in this season of Lent. What is getting in the way of me encountering God? What has become a distraction to me? Well, we keep that question in mind. I think we need to go further on in the passage, because John's Jesus story didn't just stop there. Didn't just stop the moment the animals were driven out and the tables were overturned. Now, as we look in verse 18, the passage told us that the Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Now, I think it's important for us to kind of make clear here that likely it wasn't all of the Jews, even though that verse says the Jews. Really, what it's meaning there is the Jewish leaders. The religious leaders of the day, they were the ones who took issue with Jesus. They challenged Jesus' authority. And remember how Jesus responded to them. Verse 19, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." Now, as John goes on in the passage, he lets the readers know what Jesus is speaking about. Because at first glance, Jesus' claim could seem ludicrous. I mean, it had already taken 46 years for this renovation to be taking place. And Jesus is saying, "Knock it all down and I'll raise it up in 3 days." But John goes on to say that Jesus isn't talking about the building here. He's talking about himself. And that ties us back to the reason why John likely included this story that probably occurred at the end of Jesus' ministry, and he put it at the beginning of his story. Because he was saying to his readers, whenever you think of the temple as you read this story, don't be thinking about the building. think about Jesus. Whereas for years, people had thought that to meet with God, they needed to travel to the temple, Jesus was saying something radically different. He was saying God isn't found in the building, but rather God has come right there to be with them. The religious leaders did not recognize God because of their focus on the building. While the money changers and the animals were barriers that prevented the Gentile believers from entering the presence of God and from encountering the presence of God, for the religious leaders, the temple building itself had become a similar barrier. So how are you hearing God speaking today? A few minutes ago, I asked the question, what's getting in the way of you encountering God? And I think that's an important question for us to be asking. It's important for us to be examining our lives and to see what has become kind of clutter before us. When I think of the Gentile worshipers, I wonder how many of them realized that they were even being distracted. I actually wonder how many of them had gotten to the point where the distractions had been there for such a while that they even started overlooking those distractions. They just became normal distractions there. They stopped questioning it. At first they went with a purpose, but soon their purpose faded away. That makes me wonder, what have I allowed to get in the way of my relationship with Jesus? And so I ask myself these questions. What have I allowed to be around me for such a long time that I don't even notice anymore that it's a barrier to my relationship with God? What has drawn my attention from Jesus to it? Sometimes I think we're only looking at the really bad things, and with the hope of putting those things out of our lives. We'll look at the Ten Commandments, and like we heard in our first reading, and we think, well, I got to make sure I don't break any of those commandments. But sacrifices and temple tax, they weren't sinister, and yet the focus on them got in the way of people. So I think a question that we need to ask is, what acceptable thing has become unacceptable because we've allowed it to get in the way of our relationship with Jesus? And yet there's still another way to be hearing our reading today. Another way that God can be speaking to us through it. Up to now, we've been hearing it, assuming that we are the seeking Gentile, as it were. We're the ones who are having things put in our way that affect our efforts to seek after Jesus. But I think we've got to look at this from another perspective as well. We need to see it from the perspective of others who are trying to find Jesus and the barrier that we are to them. I think one of the most significant learnings over this past year during COVID has been our understanding of church. While in the past we may well have said that the church really is the people, but I think for many of us, if not most of us, in practice, we were just giving that lip service. But this past year, we've had to think differently because we haven't been able to gather in this building here. This year, we've been invited to allow that notion, that understanding, to sink deeper and deeper within us, that we are, in fact, the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul once said this. He said, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" As we approach our annual meeting of parishioners this afternoon, as we look at a year where we still have so many unknowns ahead of us, I believe God wants the reality of that to be sinking deeper and deeper within us, that we are indeed the church. As we think about that, it raises some important questions. Like this one here, how are we as a body of believers, how are we as individuals getting in the way of others truly encountering Jesus? We can't just see all this from the perspective of the Gentile seekers, but also from the perspective of those who do have or have had access to some of the inner courts of the temple, as it were. And yet, because of some of the things we do, because of some of the way we live sometimes, some people aren't able to see Jesus through us. And the fact that we've become more like barriers to them. What are some of those barriers? When we return to in-person services, I think we're going to need to be prepared, not necessarily just to slip back into everything as we once knew them. Because some things may get in the way of people seeing Jesus. When we get close to welcoming people back into this place, we're going to need to be cleaning some things out here, both literally and figuratively. Literally, as you can see on screen here, and we've got things up in the church which are necessary for us right now because we're live streaming, but when people are back, this is going to be more like clutter. We've got to be moving these things out of the area so that people can still be worshiping. So that's the literal part of it. But we also have to be looking at what clutter is there that we can't see necessarily. I mean, are there things in our ministry, are there things in our lives that are getting in the way of people coming to see Jesus? Because as we approach our annual meeting of parishioners, I want us to stress that that's what we have to be about. That has to be our purpose. That through us, people will come to see Jesus. Paul once said, "You are a temple of the Holy Spirit." I believe it's up to us to reflect on what that means, both as a community and as individuals. What does it mean to be God's temple? And as we continue on our journey through Lent and think what it means to be the temple, so are we being called to be reflecting on what it means to be cleaning out the temple. It is something that we are called to do so that others might come to see Jesus. It's something that we're called to do. And we're to do that all for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we recognize that there are things that get in the way of us worshiping you, meeting with you, encountering you. We've allowed some of those things to get in the way, and we haven't done anything about them. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to recognize those things. We also pray that you'll help us to recognize how we maybe are barriers to others seeing Jesus. By the way we live, by the things we do, the things we say, how might some of those things be barriers to people seeing you? We pray that in the coming weeks you'll help us reflect on that. so that we might become more like the people you've created us to be. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.